This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wahda. Wassalatu wassalamu ala man la nabiyya ba'dah. Ala man la nabiyya ba'dahu wa la ummata ba'da ummatihi. Wa la kitaba ba'da kitabihi wa la shari'ata ba'da shari'atihi. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. ومن يرغب عن ملة إبراهيم إلا من سفه نفسه صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected ulama, elders, brothers, we begin by praising Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending salutations upon our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We thank Allah ta'ala that He has given us the opportunity to gather on this Mubarak, on this blessed, on this joyous day of Eid. For verily this is a day of joy. For Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, إِنَّ لِكُلِّ قَوْمٍ عِيد وَهَذَا عِيدُنَا. Each and every nation has certain days of rejoicing, and these are our days of rejoicing, the Eid al-Fitr and an Eid al-Adha. Obviously, both of them have different origins and different reasons for celebration. And today, amongst the various acts that are carried out on the 10th of Zulhijjah, the most blessed of all the deeds that are carried out on the 10th of Zulhijjah is the Udhiyah and the Qurbani. Therefore, one of our great scholars, Hazrat Shah Waliullah Rahmatullah Alayh, one of our greatest scholars that have come from the Indo-Pak subcontinent, he has made mention that on this day, the day of Eid, we strengthen our relationship with Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us about the millat and the creed of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. In the verse that I recited before you, Allah ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَرْغَبُ عَنْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ إِلَّا مَنْ سَفِّهَ نَفْسَهُ. Only those stay away and they turn away from the creed of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam who are losers, who are foolish people. You and I, as this ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam, we are indebted to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. It was Ibrahim alayhi salam who made dua for our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam. رَبَّنَا وَبْعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكَ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. At the height of his spiritual powers, he made dua to Almighty Allah. Oh Allah, send amongst my progeny such a Nabi. And that Nabi came in the manifestation of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam who gave us the title of Muslimin. Says Allah in the 17 juz of the Holy Quran in Surah Al-Hajj, Huwa sammakumul muslimin. He called us Muslimins. He has Muslimin mean the one who submits to the will of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore you and I, we reciprocate the favors of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. On every salat, there is no salat of ours that is complete until we do not read Durood Ibrahim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. And this aspect of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam today, the greatest aspect is paying homage to his ultimate sacrifice and submission when he set out to sacrifice his one and only son at that time, Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. I'm not going to make mention of the entire incident because I want to spend more time on some of the aspects of sacrifice that is required in today's age and time. But then briefly, let us make mention. Tafsir al-Mazhari, Qadi Thanaullah Panipati Rahmatullah Ali has written a tafsir, and he has written in this tafsir that Ibrahim alayhi salam first saw the dream that he is sacrificing his son on the 8th of Zulhijjah, the night of the 8th of Zulhijjah. And he started reflecting, what is the meaning of this dream? Therefore, the 8th of Zulhijjah is known in our annals as Yawm al-Tarwiyah, the day of reflection. The 8th of Dhul Hijjah is known as the day of reflection. He saw the same dream on the night of the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. And then he recognized that this is what Allah wants from me. Allah wants me to sacrifice my son as a submission to Allah. And therefore this day is known as Yawm Arafah. Arafah means recognition of Allah. Recognition of the command of Allah. He recognized that this is the command of Allah Ta'ala. Therefore it came to be known as Yawm Arafah. And then he saw the same dream on the night of the 10th of Dhul Hijjah. And that day he carried out this act, and he went out to carry out this act with the intention of completing it. And therefore that day is known as Yawm al-Nahr, the day of sacrifice. And of course, you know, one of the things that we always ask, who will ever be able to sacrifice his son? Who goes out and to slaughter his son? But it was because of the command of Almighty Allah. It was because of him showing submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I want you to reflect that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of this deed, and Allah ta'ala makes mention of it, what word Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses in the Holy Quran? And Allah ta'ala says, "Falamma aslama." Before I come to that, let me say, we must not also forget the aspect of the family of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in this whole particular act of submission. If Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam was not cooperative, and he did not cooperate, it would have been very difficult for Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to carry out, or at least go out into the aspect of trying to carry out, because he had sincere intention of carrying it out. And he told unto his son, "Ya bunayya, inni ara fil manam anni adbahuka." Oh my son, I am seeing in a dream that I am slaughtering you. "Fanzur madha tara." Tell me, what is your opinion? He was also, after all, the son of such a great Khalil. He said, "Is this the command of Almighty Allah?" And he said, "Yes, it's the command of Almighty Allah." He said, "If'al ma tu'mar." Go and do what you have been commanded. "Satajiduni, insha'Allah." He did not show pride even in such a time. Today we read two rakats extra namaz. We feel we have done a favor to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What did Ibn Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, going out to carry such an act of submission, what did he say? He did not say, "I will be so pious, I will do it. Do what you want to do. Inshallah, you will find me to be amongst those who persevere, who make sabr." It was part of that. We also acknowledge his submission. We also acknowledge the submission of Hajar, the wife of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. She also had great amount of sacrifice. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam left her in a barren desert. And he went away by the command of Allah without telling her. Allah Ta'ala said, "Leave them and go away." And as he was leaving, she was obviously worried. "I am here in a barren desert, no vegetation, no food, no water. What am I going to do?" And she saw him leaving and she said, "Allahu amaraka bihada." Did Allah command you to do this? The word is not Allah, Allah. Allah means istifham, question. And Allah has used this in the end of the 19th supara. "Allahu khayrun amma yushrikun." Is not Allah there? Allah. We are supposed to pull it. Is Allah better, or is the many idols you worship better? "Allahu amaraka bihada." Did Allah command you? And he nodded in the affirmative. And he said, and she said, "If Allah commanded you, then he will not lose us. He will take care of us." So, and of course, it's not part of following Ibrahim alayhi salam that you're going to leave your wife in the desert. Just remember that. That is not part of it. This is just, that is what they were commanded. That was the wahi of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, I was just making mention of the point. What did Allah use? What words did Allah use when both the son and father were ready to carry out this act? "Falamma aslama." When both of them submitted. Brothers, submission is a very, very required attribute in our religion. It comes even before amal. It comes even before doing any deed. And what does Allah Ta'ala say? "Sami'na wa ata'na." Our imams read it after every salat. What does it mean? "Oh Allah, I have submitted to your command. And inshallah, na'a wal act." First submission, then act. And without submission, we will not be able to have faith. In Iman and Mujmal, when we were small, we read in our madrasas, and our, may Allah Ta'ala reward our ustaz, they made us learn it properly. And if we didn't, you know, we had to bear the consequences. And what did we say in Iman and Mujmal? وَقَبِلْتُ جَمِيعَ أَحْكَامِ Oh Allah, I accept all of your commands. Oh Allah, I accept all of your commands. Whether I practice upon it or not, that's a different, and it's the next step. But the first step is, I accept every one of your commands. And brothers, that is the basis of our religion, submission. Remember one thing, freedom and submission are two poles apart. One is freedom to have freedom to move wherever you want, freedom to be, you know, have freedom in your the aspect of going to wherever you want, freedom of religion, freedom of association. It's a very great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, in a particular occasion, in a particular context, what did he say? He said, since when have you enslaved people when Allah made them and gave birth to them when they are free? To be free in that sense is a very great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. Never regard that ni'mat as light and insignificant. Ask those countries in the world where people don't have that freedom. To have that freedom is a great ni'mat of Allah. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu acknowledged it and he said, since when have you enslaved people when Allah Ta'ala created them free? But today, when sometimes when we look at this aspect, we feel freedom means I got the right to do whatever I want. I got the right to think whatever I want. I got the right to make my own opinions. You might have that right if you are not a Muslim. I can think whatever I want. I can have whatever opinion I want. Maybe you can have that opinion if you are not a Muslim. But if you are a Muslim, you have, by the very nature, when you read the Kalima, you have given a commitment that you will submit your will, your actions, your thoughts, your opinions to the command of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you are not free to think whatever you want. You are not free to do whatever you want. Your thoughts, your opinions, your actions have to submit to the command of Almighty Allah. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به. None of you is a believer until he subjects his desires, his thoughts and opinion to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his commands. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention with regard to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. What did he say? When he was out to command to slaughter his son, who does it? What word Allah used? Aslama. Submit to the command of Allah. Brothers, you and I, we are supposed to have this command of submitting to Allah Ta'ala. And this is what we learn from this action. And this action of Udhiyah and Qurbani is not something to be done by proxy, by sending it out to foreign countries. Remember what I'm going to say. Udhiyah and Qurbani is not an act of charity. It can be used for charitable causes. But the essence of Qurbani, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, Ma hadhihi al-adhahi? What is Qurbani? He said, Sunnatu Abikum Ibrahim. It is to follow the sunnat of your forefather Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam. It can be used for charitable causes, but it is not an act of charity. There are other many virtues of charity which are mentioned in the Quran and Hadith. Udhiyah is to submit, to learn submission, to learn sacrifice from the action of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And therefore when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, what is adahi? He said, sunnatu abikum Ibrahim, the sunnat of your forefather Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. And brothers, I would just like to go on. I can make mention of the whole incident. But you see, Mawlana Abul Hasan Nadwi rahimahullah, one of our great scholars, he went to Pakistan towards the end of his life. And there he gave a talk on sacrifice. You see, today we very glibly and very easily use the word sacrifice. We make a little bit of sacrifice, we feel that we have done tremendously. He said, each and every action in our Sharia has got a lineage and got an origin. Every act in Sharia has got a lineage and origin. Every masjid that is established in the earth, the lineage and the origin is Kaaba and Baytullah, which Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam made the first house of Almighty Allah in this earth. Every educational institute has got an origin and a lineage. Every educational institute, the origin and the lineage goes back to Suffa in Masjid al-Nabawi. And sacrifice, Sacrifice, the origin and the lineage of it goes to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Sacrifice, the original and the ultimate sacrifice. And then he said, in today's time, it is not commanded, and it is not required, and it is not permissible for you to go and slaughter your son. If everyone, anyone goes and go and tell his son that I saw a dream that I am slaughtering you, it is haram for him to carry it out. He's not required from you today, in today's time, to go and sacrifice your son. So Ibrahim, Mu'abul Hassan Nadwi Rahimahullah said, there are three types of sacrifices that are required in today's time. Compared and given the climate and the environment that you and I are living in. And he makes mention of it. And he said it in Pakistan, a place where over 100,000 people gave their life for an ideal. Pakistan ka matlab kya la ilaha illallah. They gave their life for an ideal that their country will be ruled according to the Sharia. It did not turn out according to the sacrifice that was made. It's a different matter why it didn't turn out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows with regard to it. But they gave their sacrifice. In that land, Maulana Abul Hassan Nadwi rahmatullahi said, three sacrifices required in today's time. One is a sacrifice of Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Khalid bin Walid, the greatest general not only in Islamic, in human history. Whenever it was known that Khalid is a general of an army, it was taken for granted that that particular army is going to win the battle. Not once did he lose any battle in which he was a general. At such a time, with such a general, with the most successful general in the history of mankind, Umar radiallahu anhu writes a letter and gives a command, a proclamation, sends it on the eve of one of the most important battles in the history of Islam. Remove Khalid from being the general. Change him and bring Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah. Now, Umar radiallahu anhu had a vision. The vision was, everyone was starting to say, if Khalid is in the battle, Muslims are going to win. And it was taking people away from directing their attention to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was his vision. And Allah ta'ala in the Holy Quran has made mention of it to such an extent that when Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on Battle of Badr took sand, threw it in the direction of the non-Muslims, and for a moment they were temporarily blinded, which changed the course of the battle. For the first time, doubt came into their mind. Allah ta'ala, although that action was Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but Allah ta'ala also didn't refer it to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You didn't bring the effect of that throwing of the sand, but Allah ta'ala did it. So Umar radiallahu anhu wanted to say, we will gain victory with or without Khalid. That was his mindset. And then people came to Khalid, you did nothing wrong. You did nothing wrong, why are you removed? Why are you still fighting? He continued fighting right till the end of his life. And what did he say? He said, since when am I fighting for Umar?
Just take this one, let me just check it. Keep it away. Sorry, keep it away.
He said, since when am I fighting for Umar? I am fighting for Allah. Brothers, that is one of the sacrifices required in today's time. To do everything for the sake of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Maulana Abul Hassan Nadwi rahimahullah makes mention, and he said, today we have organizations, we have jamaats, we need it for the proper running of our affairs in the community. But he says, remember, the organizations and the jamaats and the personalities are there to serve the collective, to serve the creed. It's not the other way around. The organizations, the jamaats and personalities can be sacrificed for the sake of the cause, for the sake of the millet and the creed. Man, it cannot be the other way around. The religion and the collective cannot be sacrificed for the jamaat, for organizations and personalities. So the first lesson and sacrifice we require today is to do something solely for the sake of Allah. My dear respected elders and brothers, there is no limit to what a person can do when he doesn't worry who gets the credit. The second type of sacrifice that is required in today, which Maulana Abul Hassan Nadwi Rahimullah has identified, is the sacrifice of Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, after his father was martyred and he became And he was told that he is going to be the Khalifa, and part of his Khilafat ended of the Khilafat Rashida. At that time, Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu entered into a peace agreement with Muawiyah. He relinquished his right to Khilafat. He relinquished his right to Khilafat. And such a time when the emotional support of the Ummah was with him, because after the martyrdom of his father, more and more emotional support came with him. The moral authority was with him. The moral authority was with him. The moral rightness was with him. The moral and the emotions of people with him. In such a time, Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu signs a peace agreement and giving rise and manifestation to what Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One day on the minbar of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports, Hazrat Hassan was with Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inni hada sayyid." This grandson of mine is a leader. He is a leader. Because of him, Allah will bring the Ummah together. Because of him, Allah will bring the Ummah together. And Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when the moral authority, when the emotions of people with him, he signed an agreement. Someone told him, "You are a sellout." And I'm not going to use the sellout in any particular reference of nowadays political situation. They told him, "You are a sellout." And what did he say? Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "Shame is better than flame." To be accused of being a sellout is better than having the blood of the Muslims on my hand. And of course we know, in the time of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, you know, Sahaba, they confronted one another, and so many of them were killed, so many of them were martyred. And someone has so truly said, the greatest tragedy in history is not when truth confronts falsehood. That is going to happen. And if truth confronts falsehood, and the people of truth die, they are martyrs. The greatest tragedy in history is not when truth confronts falsehood. That has and will continue happening. The greatest tragedy in history is when truth confronts truth. The greatest tragedy in history is when truth confronts truth. And that is what happened. And Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu could not see it. And it is made mention that Hazrat Fatima brought Hazrat Hassan and Hussein to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "Make dua for my children, O Prophet of Almighty Allah." Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua for them. And he said an amazing thing. He said, "I made dua to Almighty Allah to give Hassan my dignity and leadership. And I made dua that Allah Ta'ala grants Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu my generosity and my courage." Hussein also adopted a path. Hassan also adopted a path. And both of them were correct in their respective times. The path of Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Mawlana Abu Hassan identified as one of the sacrifices required. What did he say? He said, "For the sake of my Khilafat, I don't want even the blood of one person so that I can become the Khalifa." He said, "What will happen to me if I assume Khilafat on the blood of Muslims?" And Allah Ta'ala will question me, and the blood of Muslims will come and say, "Why was my blood spilled?" Brothers, today I don't need to give an elaboration with regard to what is happening in the Muslim Ummah with regard to disunity. This is one of the sacrifices required, the sacrifice of Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, to put the unity, the peace, the love of the Muslim Ummah in the forefront. That is the second sacrifice which Hazrat Mawlana Abul Hassan Nadwi rahimullah in his talk in Pakistan had identified. I would have loved to have, you know, given more elaboration with regard to it, but I don't have the time. The third and the last one with regard to what type of sacrifice that is required, it is a sacrifice of Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi. Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi became the Khalifa. Long story how he became the Khalifa. When he became the Khalifa, before that he was the governor of Medina. They said when he became the governor of Medina, from where he was staying, his goods came to Medina on the back of 40 camels. He used to wear clothes. You know that one clothes was equivalent to 400 dirhams. 400 dirhams. And that also you say, it is not fine enough. It is not good enough. Can't you get something that is more expensive for me? Then he was made the Khalifa and his whole life changed. And how someone had said so beautifully, sometimes the potential of a person needs a moment of truth to blossom. And that it was with Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi. Thereafter, someone one day brought him a cloth of 14 dirhams. And he said, "It is too expensive for me. Go and change it for something that is even less than that." His simplicity that he had at the time when he was a Khalifa was something that never mind other rulers, even saints could not match. He returned all the rightful. He gave everyone the rightful rights. He restored justice. He brought justice. Whatever anyone had been treated unjustly, he gave them back whatever was supposed to be raised. He used to cry out of the fear of Almighty God. He had such great degree of sacrifice, even while he was a Khalifa. One day, he saw his daughters. They were covering their mouths while they were speaking to him. And he said, "Oh, my daughters, why are you doing this?" They said, "Oh, Father, there was nothing in the house to eat. There was only some onions. We had those onions. And there is a smell emanating from our mouths. Therefore, we are covering our mouths." And he said, "Oh, my daughters, I could have also given you a sumptuous meal the way the previous Khalifas did. But I'm afraid of Jahannam. What am I going to reply to Almighty Allah?" His wife one day saw him weeping. He was weeping profusely. And she said, "Why are you weeping so much?" And he said, "There are so many people who are poor, who are in poverty. I'm the Khalifa. I'm not able to help and assist them. There are so many people requiring justice. I'm the Khalifa. I'm not able to come to their assistance to give them justice. So many people who have been wronged. I have not been able to do what I'm supposed to do. And that is the reason why I'm crying." His companion, Yazid bin Hawshab, used to say, when Umar bin Abdul Aziz used to cry out of the fear of Almighty Allah, it seemed as if Jannat and Jahannam was only created for him. That was Umar bin Abdul Aziz, the Khalifa of the time, who had the greatest authority over the entire known world at that time. And he changed his life into one of simplicity, one in which he was worried about the justice and the poverty and the situation of people. One who was worried with regard to how I'm going to account to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maulana Abul Hasan Nadwi rahimullah refers to this and said, one of the sacrifices that is required from you and I is to make sacrifice to change our life for the better. What sacrifice he did, from where he came, and how he used to be someone who used to be dressed in the best of clothes, and then how he changed his life to simplicity and the fear of Almighty Allah. And the ulama write, the day he was passing away, this ayat was on his lips: "Tilka darul akhiratu naj'aluha lilladhina la yuriduna uluwan fil ardi wala fasada." The akhirat and jannat we kept for people who do not seek pride and arrogance in this earth and do not seek corruption. It was as if he was a manifestation of that verse and he passed away. Hazrat Maulana Abul Hasan Nadwi rahimullah writes, he says, these are the three types of sacrifice. Keeping in mind, I made mention that the sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salam is the origin of all sacrifices. But he said, in today's time, according to him, and we share the words of wisdom of such a great scholar, the sacrifice of Khalid bin Walid, to everything for the sake of Allah. Put Allah in front of everything, in front of our ambitions, before any other aspects with regard to our life. Put the commands of Allah and put the sincerity and the pleasure of Allah before us. The sincerity and the sacrifice of Hassan radiallahu ta'ala in bringing the ummah together, and the sacrifice of Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi in changing our life. May Allah Ta'ala give you an tawfiq of understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.